Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
During the summertime when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Pop a top, grab a sip. Shout out to our super producer, Mr. Max the Surge Williams.
Yes, indeed. Max the... Wait, you do a good one later. No, I can't remember. We'll just let it happen organically. It was so good. You had a couple of good ones.
Thanks, man. Yeah, this is... So, Noel, this is... part two of our exploration of soda. And I think we both knew going into it, we'd have some nostalgia, but this is the fun part, right? Or almost the fun part. Are we going to do health concerns? Do we have to?
Yeah, it's who knows? Results to be fair. It might have been on the tail end of the previous episode, but you'll definitely hear some callbacks to all of the things that we've talked about here. So let's jump right into part two of the ridiculous history of soda pop.
As early as the 1940s, people were starting to get concerned. The AMA, American Medical Association, released a public statement in 42, and they said, look, guys, we get it. We're the cool doctors. We like soda, too. But let's pump the brakes a little bit. You know, you got to watch out for all the sugar getting added to various foods and beverages. And you got to be careful with soft drinks because they're giving you more sugar than you might assume.
Well, and much like, you know, the cigarette industry, it takes a long time for these types of health concerns to really take hold, you know.
To bubble up.
Hey, there you go. But like now, I think we are living in a, you know, an age where seltzer and diet sodas are maybe more popular than full sugar soda. But that doesn't mean that the full sugar sodas are off the shelves. And I'm just conjecturing here. I haven't seen any numbers, but I would bet my bottom dollar that that fully sugared sodas are not selling quite as well. And that's just indicated by how much these soda companies have had to diversify. You know, mm-hmm. and lean really heavily into, like, for example, I think Coke bought Topo Chico, which was it's a wonderful, highly carbonated mineral water, you know, out of Mexico. And they did it quietly without letting anybody know. And now you'll see Topo Chico at your regular grocery store or convenience spot.
Yeah. If you live in Atlanta, you might know the guy who distributes all of it. It's
Luis.
Yeah, I hang with Luis.
Well, they do awesome. not to get off topic too much, but like brilliant marketing stuff that Topo Chico's doing. They have a lot of these like, kind of art markets and thrift type places where Topo Chico has free of charge installed a branded Topo Chico refrigerator in these places. And just you can just take one for free.
Yeah.
And it certainly makes you feel a sense of goodwill towards the brand. And you're much more likely to pay for one when you see them. And they are a little pricier, but it's a great quality product. Highly carbonated. I think it's the best mineral water out there.
If you catch our pal Luis on a good day, he'll just give you some.
Exactly.
The guy rolls strapped with Topo Chico. It's amazing. But
yes, he's strapped.
And Topo Chico, by the way, carbonated water in general is going to tend to be healthier than sodas. I would say also full sugar sodas probably experience a bit of a decline just because there's a feedback loop, right? They want to diversify, and diversification means that there are now more alternative choices in the market. So people are adventurous, right? You like what you're familiar with, but you also want to try something new every so often. Well, we should say that the industry did respond. To your point, Noel, 10 years after the AMA makes their statement, we see the rise of the first low-calorie, no-calorie beverage, a diet soft drink, a ginger ale called No-Cal Beverage. Mm-hmm. They put beverage in the name, which is a weird flex.
It's sort of like an ATM machine.
There it is, yeah. Or VIN number, yeah. It's made by a company out of New York called Kirsch. And they paved the way for all the diet sodas to come because the concerns are real. How many grams of soda or how many grams of sugar did we say? Like 40 grams?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Okay. The recommended consumption of grams of added sugar is between 25 and 38 grams per day, depending on your body. And of course, there are multiple studies that confirm different health risk that can be associated with overconsumption of soda, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease. These diet soft drinks, they're also not a panacea. They're not perfect. If you consume two or more diet soft drinks, according to experts, you can still increase your risk of heart disease and stroke. But let's go on to one other interesting thing here. This is the thing that made me originally pitch this idea back when we were doing pitch meetings. Who is Kirsch? What happened to that soda company? It turns out history is absolutely littered with discontinued soda brands and companies that either went bust or never reached the global dominance of Pepsi and Coke. There are seriously tons of these.
So many, in fact, we decided to make this one a relatively preemptive two-parter.
We'll give you the background before we get to our honorable mentions, our Hall of Fame or Hall of Shame. We have to explain why the soda market came to be increasingly dominated by a small number of companies, two Leviathans in particular, Pepsi and Coke. It's because of the 1960s. The 1960s were the halcyon glory days of the soda market. There were so many different choices, and Coke and Pepsi were a little different from other companies because they weren't just selling their regional soda or their invention. They were aggressively buying up other brands, a process that continues today. And they knew growth in television viewing was huge in the 60s. So they also threw a bunch of money into marketing campaigns. Smaller companies tried to pull their own marketing stunts, but they just didn't have the cash to compete. And then another feedback loop gets created. That's why Coke is so popular today. But Coke's not the only one.
They literally invented Santa Claus for all intents and purposes. Right. You know, I mean, some of the marketing, you know, again, it's the same deal we talked about with kind of being first to market as an inventor of something and still, you know, staying the test of time. Coke was so iconic and powerful that marketing things that they created to sell a bubbly, sweet drink have become absolutely inseparable from just the idea of Americana, you know, and just the culture of the United States.
They helped increase the population of polar bears, all due to those Christmas ads. Mm-hmm. Like, people got involved in biodiversity and saving polar bears. It's so weird. It's also, this is also kind of our Hall of Nostalgia part of the series. We've got to talk about the sodas of yesteryear. We were texting each other about this for a while now. One that I think all of us brought up at some point is Josta. Mm-hmm. Noel, how would you depict a Josta?
Josta with guarana?
Mm-hmm.
It literally was in the name. Yeah, this was one of the, we were talking about Bernie Sanders' whole perspective on like marketing this poison to kids. They literally did do that. You know, I distinctly remember we're about the same age, Ben, when all of a sudden there were these soda machines in my high school, and they sold Josta was one of the popular ones, and also another one called Surge, which we're going to get to. But Josta had this kind of like South American vibe. There was like a panther, I think sort of like a stylized panther on the label. And I couldn't tell you what it tasted like, kind of Dr. Pepper adjacent, but this guarana was like ginseng or something. It was meant to be sort of a natural, like, booster,
stimulant,
you know?
Yeah,
stimulants.
Yeah, it was described as a high-energy citrus soda. It was around from 95 to 99, so not that long in its first incarnation.
Because it was controversial, especially right. Because of what we're talking about with the marketing directly to the youth.
Yeah, and this Josta was, to a lot of the soda pop heads, kind of ahead of its time because it had higher caffeine content, which we'll later see in things like Jolt or Surge or East Tennessee's infamous Dr. Enough. But it also
had... No, really? Dr. Enough?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Enough is, ask our pal Dylan Fagan about it.
Dude, like
it's the East Tennessee thing.
The warning is there in the name itself, you know?
It's also spelled in a hurry. It's spelled E-N-U-F.
But, I've never heard of this. I'm going to have to look it up. That's
it's weird. I think I've probably got some at my dad's house. So I'll bring some if I can find it. But the Josta has a higher octane in the gas, caffeine-wise, and it also was focused less on sweetness and more on just a strong fruit flavor. This was a product of Pepsi, and to this day, people aren't exactly sure why they discontinued it. I imagine it just wasn't selling that well, right?
Yeah, and also, again, kind of, I believe the controversy around that marketing to kids probably left a bad taste in some people's mouths, literally and figuratively, because it wasn't very good. It had a bit of a bitter weirdness to it. This is also right around the era of Fruitopia. Remember that?
Oh,
drink?
Yeah.
It was a soda, but it was not carbonated, but it just was like fake fruit juice that was just pure sugar. And that was another popular drink that they sold in schools.
Yeah. It's Fruitopia. And then I talked about this, I think, pinged in one of our group chats, but with Surge, I had that same high school association or middle school. I can't remember. But the thing that Surge did that was kind of sketchy was they sent everybody in our school like a gift pack from Surge. And it wasn't the soda, but it was like a t-shirt and a mixtape CD of all these not quite A-list bands of the 90s. And I thought it was really neat. I definitely bought Surge at school as a result. But with the benefit of retrospect, that seems kind of crooked because that was like everybody in our school. How did they get all those addresses? Who was working with whom?
I honestly think it's a lot like pharmaceutical reps, you know? Like, yeah, you had these soda reps that were coming to the school and making these deals. How else do you think the machines got, you know? It was a total deal, you know? Obviously, there was something in it for the schools.
I mean, to further on this point, you know, I'm a couple years younger than y'all. That only got worse. Like, I remember my senior year of high school, like, I'm like looking at it, I'm like, man, there's way more vending machines in this cafeteria than there were when I was a freshman. It's just continued getting, it's probably so much worse now.
Well, there's social pressure to use the vending machines too, because it makes you cool, right? It's like, I'm going to have a Pepsi Crystal.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex.
So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I owned a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm kidding. I don't know if they ever sold that stuff, but
That was, you know, or at least I guess it was Pepsi, Crystal Pepsi and Clear Coke.
That was
probably
80s,
when
right?
I was in fifth grade, maybe even fourth grade. I do distinctly remember, though, because I think Crystal Pepsi had a commercial that used that song right now. Hey,
that's right.
Tomorrow right now. Come on. It's everything. And I think that was I think it was Van Halen. It was like a Sammy Hagar, Van Hagar era. And that was a big promo. And of course, both of those attempts, they didn't taste like Coke. They didn't taste like Sprite. They just tasted weird. And it was that sort of weird psychological sensation where you're drinking something that looks one way and then it tastes a different way. It was just wrong. Something about it. So it did not take off like they were hoping.
It was also kind of a matter of, for the customer, you would have to ask yourself, why don't I just get, like, it solves a problem people didn't have. Because if they wanted Pepsi, they would get a Pepsi. If they wanted sparkling water, they would get sparkling water. So ending up with a not quite Pepsi that is also not quite sparkling water, it's just a strange hybrid. Maybe people didn't want it. You guys heard about the New Coke conspiracy too, right? Do you remember?
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, New Coke was just, they were like, hey, we're going to tweak our formula a little bit, you know? And it was just, nobody liked it, I think. But what's the conspiracy? Is that they were trying to do something underhandedly? Like, what's that? Yeah, I don't think I do know.
The pop culture conspiracy is that Coke knew they were going to redo the flavor of original Coca-Cola. So they said, we're not going to throw people in the deep water yet. We're going to do a switcheroo. We're going to come out with new Coke, which was not popular, by the way. It didn't last long. And then, as though we are responding to people's demand, we'll roll out Coca-Cola Classic, which is different from the actual classic Coca-Cola. We've just sort of switched things. The conspiracy would be whether this was on purpose or with motive. But still, it's one of my favorite pop culture stories, because I think as a kid, it was my first encounter with feeling like an old man or a very conservative person, because I tried New Coke. And even at a very young age, I was like, this new stuff is garbage. Yeah, we need to go back to the old ways.
The old ways, exactly. Which brings us to another one of the kind of... by the way, I don't know if we mentioned that Josta did appear in Loki. Yeah, as sort of, you know, a nostalgic throwback thing, because it was of a very specific window of time. So it was a fun little, you know, callback to that. But really, the sister drink to Josta in many ways was Surge, which was this citrus kind of extreme, like it looked like a Nickelodeon ad, like, you know, like the label was very green and splatty kind of vibes, you know. But yeah. Surge really does occupy this very rarefied air of discontinued sodas that some people really did dig, but there was some kind of weirdness behind the way it was marketed.
What they did is they figured out the demographic that they wanted to be the Surge stands. They were like, this is going to be soda for teenagers, for suburban teenagers, especially if they like skateboarding, right? And we're going
to... Jinkos.
Right.
Airwalks.
Exactly.
You know?
Vans. Yeah. We're going to associate ourselves with different cultural things that we believe these children will be interested in. And just like Josta, it's a citrus-based beverage. This is a Coca-Cola product.
Neon green coloring, too.
Did not look like a natural thing.
No.
Yeah, it
did not. Like toilet bowl cleaner or something, you know. And Josta was kind of purplish, but it was really more just black, like regular Coke.
Yeah, just darker. And Surge is interesting because it's the subject of a lot of different urban legends that were coming out that would either attempt to explain the secret origin story of Surge, or there would be those lurid campfire tales of people who drank Surge under the wrong circumstances and something terrible happened. You know, like the old idea of eating pop rocks and damaging your mouth or something like that. You know, so it was
blowing up your stomach, I thought.
There's a couple.
You drink like Coke or something afterwards.
Or like Coke and Mentos, et cetera.
Yeah,
right?
Which is a delightful subgenre of YouTube or TikTok videos where people are just like, you know, dropping 10 Mentos into a Coke and then just shoving their whole mouth on it so it like shoots out of their eyeballs, you know? It's pretty wild. Ben, you found something though, like speaking of like marketing type stuff that I was not aware of from the Coca-Cola company. Very odd label for this thing called OK Soda. It looks like a Daniel Clues cartoon or something. Like, it's very weird, moody, like some kind of alternative comic vibe. I do not remember this at all.
Yeah, I missed this one too. This was actually new to me. Back in 1993, Coca-Cola did a similar thing that they had done, was that they would do a Surge, right? They said, all right, we're going to find a demographic. We're going to make a soda just for them. And they looked around the C-suite or the boardroom, and some guy said, has anybody heard about this grunge music? And they went
grimy youths in their flannels and their torn up jeans.
Mm-hmm. And so they made like this soda that was just a pretty much a regular soda, nothing to brag about. It's like the Honda Civic of soda, I guess. It gets the job done. But their focus in this one was marketing, branding, and image. So we've got here an image of the label that would wrap around a can of OK Soda, and it says stuff like, it's got the Daniel Clues kind of cartoons. And then at the top, it says, "Okay, Soda says, don't be fooled into thinking there has to be a reason for everything.
Okay, Corporation."
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't conform. Drink okay soda.
Exactly.
It reminds me a lot, though, like there are, you know, or there, I think in the 90s as well, probably sort of a craft soda kind of boom. You guys might know Jones Soda is a popular one. They make all kinds of weird one-off flavors, like seasonally, like there's one out right now. It's like chocolate orange. And they even had like Thanksgiving gravy flavored soda. But,
bacon,
you know,
flavor. Yeah,
really, really sugary. They were very popular when I lived in Birmingham, and I'd never really heard of them. But that's often the case with some of these things, like Jolt Cola was regional, or like Faygo was regional. And then it kind of got more national. But yeah, Jones Soda, it almost feels like that's what they're attempting to do here, is like, it's sort of like the craft beer label that is all secretly owned by Busch Mills, but it's like trying to trick you into thinking, no, this is just for you. This is small batch craft stuff, you know?
It's so weird. Like, okay, just one example, like an example, they would put these little bits of flash fiction on OK Soda. I appreciate it. I probably would have bought one.
They're kind of cool looking. I mean, frankly, the design is good.
I don't know if I would drink it. I might just keep it and be like, look upon my refrigerator works, ye mighty, and despair.
I wonder if some of these are collectible now. If
oh,
they
yes,
did discontinue them. So, yeah.
Yeah, they are. And so just for an example of this, this label that we're pulling has the following written on it. Coincidence 14. The night he first tried OK Soda, Rick B. of Aurora, Colorado, put a full can under his pillow and went to sleep. He dreamed he was crawling through an endless gravel pit, parched with thirst. When he awoke, his thirst had disappeared, and his... Hang on, I'm turning my head to read this. And he felt strangely satisfied. Note, the can of OK Soda, still unopened, was empty. This is only a coincidence.
See, you
That's
mentioned
a little
earlier.
Extra.
It is, but you mentioned earlier, Ben, the idea. Actually, very top of the first episode, your vampire dream.
Oh,
doesn't
right.
this have the language of like an implanted advertisement masquerading as a dream?
An inception? Yeah.
Yes, dude. It really does. And I kid you not. We've talked about it on Stuff That I Want You to Know a lot. I believe there was a beer company that did experiment with some, just as like an ad campaign kind of like goof, experimented with implanting ads into people's dreams. But it was like, you know, by volunteer. And it was literally the thing itself was the ad. They're not truly talking about doing this, you know, to the general public, but we're not that far off, man, from this kind of stuff happening.
Yeah, there's a reason we do Stuff That I Want You to Know, as well as this show. Look, OK Soda was just okay. It was out for 2 years, 93 to 95, and then Coca-Cola pulled it from its shelves, which made it, to your point, a collector's item. And there are so many other obscure sodas. Some are discontinued, some are still around, some I think are invented entirely because a person liked a pun. I'm thinking of Dracola.
Of course. Yeah. Well, that would have been the ad in your dream.
I would have been. That would have been the ad
Dracola.
In the dream.
Yeah, it was made for Halloween, you know, seasonal kind of Halloween stuff. But Transylvania Imports made this. Got to wonder if this is somehow, you know, at least philosophically adjacent to those seasonal cereals like Yummy Mummy and Blueberry.
I was about to jump in and say that. That's what this feels like. Because when I was researching cereal, whenever we did that episode, there was so many just like terrible cereal that was built 100% off of a pun.
Yeah, what's Count Chocula, I think, is the most popular.
But Yummy Mummy. That's...
Yummy Mummy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we've got stuff that's a little more sexy. Soda companies have tried every genre and demographic of appeal. So Aphrodite had their slogan was, get some tonight.
Okay, that's right. And I believe some of these, it contained quotes from like screen ingenues, like Mae West and the like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 2002, only lasted a few years. As we know, the United States was still attempting to find its way as a nation. And they said no to the, tempting allure of Aphrodite, a cherry red soda with a fruit punch flavor.
I think maybe we briefly mentioned Tab. I think most people just know Tab as a product of the 80s. And I think it was just like kind of a amorphous diet soda. And it was discontinued as recently as 2020, because I do remember that it kind of had a little bit of a resurgence again on that nostalgia tip. Now Fresca's back in a big way, I've noticed. That was sort of, it seemed like it had gone the way of the Dodo for a while. But yeah, Tab is something now you just really associate with like kind of 80s yuppie culture.
Yeah, yeah. For when I first started at How Stuff Works, my boss was the only person I had ever met who drank Tab, and she loved it. It was the only soda she drank.
Roxanne!
I had no idea it was still around. Roxanne Reed opened us to the world of Tab, and I was, Roxanne, for tuning in, we're thinking about you. I had no idea Tab was still around until you told us. And had no idea that it discontinued in 2020. But Tab, I never quite got with it.
It's such a innocuous name, too. It's just meaningless, you know? It's like Tab. Like, what does that even mean?
Was like, it like they were proud of the bottling technology or the canning technology?
Well, that's true. I guess, you know, a Tab, the thing that you pop. But I don't know. It just seems like it was made to be kind of vanilla and just bland diet, generic diet soda. What about, let's see, we talked about Dr. Brown's. They had kind of a fun one that was pretty popular. Celray? Did it taste like celery?
Polka Cola?
No, I'm sorry. I'm skipping ahead. You're right.
Celray.
Right.
Yeah, it was celery-based soda. Still around. And it came about because celery was seen as a superfood at the time in the mid-1800s. People would say it'll relax you, it'll cure headaches. It is the key to what ails you. And so Dr. Brown's also made cream soda, right?
Sure. And, you know, that black cherry soda and root beer and all of that other stuff, the classic soda flavors.
And it's weird because now that I think about it, that medicinal association is the reason so many soda brands have a fictional doctor at the head.
That's funny. I didn't think about that. No, you're totally right. And ginger, too, is considered kind of a superfood. It still is. I mean, you put ginger in your chicken soup. It does, you know, I don't know. Results may vary, but there is the sense that it's good for you in some way. But Dr. Brown soda, very popular in Jewish delicatessens as well. And a lot of the reporting you found on this came from Healy, the Jewish Star.
Yeah.
And, you know, specifically referring to the history of some of these sodas, you know, in the Jewish culture.
Yeah, and you can still find Dr. Brown's. You can still find Celray in delis and in specific markets across the country. We could probably find some in Atlanta. I sort of want to try it. I'm not, I'm not a big celery head. Yeah, I respect it.
It kind of reminds me of like something having a wisp of cucumber. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's a similarly kind of earthy kind of plant matter flavor that I could see if it was paired with the right other, you know, ingredients being a little bit refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
Do you guys know about Faygo?
Of course. Yeah. I mentioned that earlier about like how, you know, Faygo was very much a Detroit, you know, Michigan thing. And then I think largely because of the Insane Clown Posse really kind of developed a reputation. But like Moon Mist and what's some other popular flavors of Faygo?
Well, the red is the one that's always been
red. Rocka something or
right,
what's it called?
Yeah. That is my dad's all time favorite, Detroit soda. So I would be remiss to not bring it up. Because, I mean, Papa Williams is a very calm man, unless you don't talk about his Faygo.
Rock and Rye is another one. Rock and Rye, which I believe, what does it even taste like? It says Rock and Rye was a medicinal medley of rye whiskey, rock candy, citrus, and herbs. Now, that was the original. Now it's a light vanilla cream soda with a hint of semi-tart cherry flavor. It had nothing to do with anything from the cocktail.
And this is weird because we see the names are so fascinating. In every case of a soda we're talking about that's been discontinued, by the way, there's probably going to be a grassroots movement to save it. Like you can go to Save Josta online before Loki. You can see, I think the Save Tab Soda Committee took out billboards to try to get Coca-Cola to bring back Tab for some reason.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Do you guys remember Hi-C Ecto Cooler?
Yeah, huge collector's item, and they brought it back.
Not carbonated. There was a brief period where they were available again in cans, because originally they were in the little juice boxes, but it was a tie-in with Ghostbusters. I believe the real Ghostbusters cartoon. It wasn't necessarily the first Ghostbusters movie, but it had Slimer on it. It was green, but it tasted like orange.
Yeah.
That was the whole deal. But I briefly, when it was around, I bought a case of it on Amazon, thinking that it was going to be available now and again forever, and it wasn't. And now you can go online and find those going for a pretty penny.
Nice. Did you keep it?
I drank them because I was like, Ecto Cooler's back. We're all good. I could not that I would needed to be buying those on the regular, but
yeah.
The nostalgia, you know, and we should talk about that aspect, especially when it comes to things like ginger ale, root beer,
sure.
Coke. A lot of this stuff capitalizes on nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's programming. It's the study of the history of modern soda is also a study in social psychology. It's also a study in guerrilla marketing. It's a study in accessing or incepting people's memories. You know, it's quite effective too. And that's why they tried so much stuff. I mentioned Polka Cola. That was made to promote polka music. Whoopi Soda was Whoopi Soda.
Whoopi Cushions.
Right.
No, Whoopi
right.
Pies.
Yeah.
Or
making
Whoopi Goldberg.
They had a contest where they said, we will give you up to $500 if you write a letter talking about your saddest, most injurious, or embarrassing experience trying to take off the bottle cap of a Whoopi soda. That was okay. Really weird. That's that's kind of self-deprecating to a dangerous level. And this concept, this nostalgia goes on. What we're seeing, the reason I'm bringing up Polka Soda is because that is just one example of a soda company finding pre-existing communities and memories that people already share, and then just sort of inserting a soda in that situation. Kind of like when Wayne's World 1 or 2, I can't remember, did that amazing stuff about native advertising where they just started drinking Pepsi and talking about how they'd never sell out.
Totally. Yeah, yes,
that's
yes.
What they're doing.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like it's a little yellow. Different, Nuprin, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I do have to shout out Dr. Enough, and it seems like you guys are interested in learning a little
Absolutely.
More about that. Okay, so the East Tennessee, toward the northeast part of the state, is home to an area called the Tri-Cities. This is Bristol, Kingsport, and Johnson City. Bristol is in Virginia. And in 1949, something called the Tri-City Beverage Corporation started bottling a drink called Dr. Enough, invented by a guy named Charles Gordon.
Enough. It does not sound like a particularly attractive branding play. I don't know.
He said this is so weird, right? Because it's 1949. So the medicinal thing is still kind of in the mix for people. You're not just selling, you know, liquid candy. And his advertising was a little bit too hardcore. It was a little bit militant. Dr. Enough was supposed to relieve people's, quote, untold misery from aches and pains, stomach disturbances, and malaise. That
okay.
doesn't sound fun.
No, it doesn't.
But it tastes pretty good. It's like a lemon lime kind of thing.
Yeah, you know. Well, again, that's the thing. We get into a certain place where there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to sodas. And then now you'll see Coke occasionally release these limited runs of like Starlight. And they all taste like crap. They're not good. They're too sugary. But they're banking on that thing that you said, Ben, about everyone maybe will try a thing once. And that's why they don't stick around, because they're just, you know, capitalizing on everyone wanting to try it once. And by everyone, I just mean, you know, enough people to warrant having the thing come out. But they're, you know, everything's a lemon lime kind of thing, some sort of cola product, some sort of, you know, Mountain Dew-esque thing, and root beer, and of course ginger ale. But then there's not like new soda.
There's novelty soda. It hasn't taken off. And I got to say, for anybody who finds themselves in East Tennessee, Dr. Enough is worth it. It's great. It's not an also-ran. I think regional sodas have a great appeal, too, because people start associating them with an area's identity, right? Like Cheerwine, for
instance. Or Faygo,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think
Verner's,
of course, yeah. There's another one that gave rise to modern slang, which is Moxie. I didn't know when somebody says you've got Moxie, they're referencing a soda.
No way. I would have been certain that it was the other way around. Please tell us more.
So Moxie soda is created as a medicine in 1878. And the creator, Augustine Thompson, originally calls it Moxie Nerve Food.
Ooh,
okay. He says, this medicine contains a proprietary, quite rare South American plant. I refuse to name it in public. Now we know what it is, gentian root. And he said, I've named this after a dear friend of mine, one Lieutenant Moxie, who adventured in South America and who discovered this rare plant that is the basis of my nerve food.
Nerve food. Real Indiana Jones type figure, huh? Yeah, and apparently the term much more likely came from a Native American word, Moxie, which means dark water, which that tracks for like a soda, you know, most cola type or root beer type sodas. They're dark water with bubbles. And that was used in the names of some of the bodies of water near where Thompson was born.
Yeah. So I think they embellished at least a little.
Oh, you think? What about the other claims made about what this product could do for you health wise?
Oh, right.
Snake oil all the way, right?
Yeah, it's patent medicine style. Yeah, are you paralyzed? Get some Moxie. Can't sleep? Get some Moxie. Need to wake up? Get some Moxie.
Cure all. You know, right. One stop shop.
And it becomes a soft drink, right?
Yeah, and the syrup existed in 1878, but it wasn't until 1884 that it was mixed up, like you said, with carbonated water. So the earlier version of it would have been much more like those snake oil remedies that we talked about in a previous episode. But it wasn't until 1884 that it was mass-produced and bottled and sold, you know, to the public. The Lowell Sun did an article on the drink talking about how it became super popular in New England, but never got nearly as successful as Coca-Cola.
Yeah, and the term Moxie is actually more popular than the soda because people started using it as slang to describe someone who seemed very determined or had nerves of steel. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of a really great I Love Lucy episode where she's being a spokesperson or spokesmodel for this product on, like, you know, the craft whatever hour of television when ads were done live, called Vita Meta Vegemin. I bet a lot of listeners remember that one. And they had a slogan where she's like, Vita Meta Vegemin, spoon your way to health. But the joke was that it had like a ton of alcohol in it, and they kept making her drink it as she did successive takes. And by the end of it, she's Vita Meta Vegemin. It was a whole bit. Very funny. I Love Lucy holds up.
It does. It does. Comedic genius at work there. There are, of course, novelty weird sodas. Like, you can find black garlic flavor, onion flavor, pumpkin pie flavor. One I'm interested in.
Gravy, like you're saying with Jones.
Yeah, like Jones. I think would be interesting to try the next time when we finally travel across the Pacific together is that Japan has a curry flavored soda.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to be good, but I do think we should try it.
You know, there's a really cool bar that keeps winning like best bar in America, if I'm not mistaken, in New York called Double Chicken Please.
Oh,
I haven't been, but it's hard to get into. But they do like a cold soba noodle cocktail, and they do one that's like leftover pizza and stuff. But apparently they're all like, they sound gimmicky, but they're actually really good and like very Willy Wonka-esque in their creations. We didn't mention sarsaparilla. Sioux City sarsaparilla. They call that like a soft sarsaparilla. That was one of the early kind of rooty drinks that were, you know, sold as an alternative for those that maybe did not want to imbibe the harder stuff.
And it's kind of like root beer.
You can still get it. It very much tastes like root beer, but you can get it at like Cracker Barrel, where they have all the different vintage sodas.
Uh-huh, and all the recordings you could ever want of the golden age of radio.
No, what is the Fallout New Vegas equivalent to that?
Oh, I don't know. It's just called Nuka-Cola.
Well, no, there's Nuka-Cola, but in New Vegas, there's a sarsaparilla.
You're right. I don't remember the name.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name. But
That's the big joke, is it's the only one where Nuka-Cola does not run the whole show.
Got it. Yeah, I do love me some New Vegas. I need to get back into that one, too. We got to get through Skyrim first, guys. Got to get through Skyrim.
I love Skyrim. I turned
Can
on
Can you get through Skyrim?
Yeah, I don't know. I did last time. I got to the Land of Dragons and was underpowered, and I kept getting my ass handed to me.
It got buggy with the DLC, to be fair. Early
the unofficial patch.
Yeah.
We'll consider it. But Ben, have we reached the end of our carbonated adventure, our journey into the heart of soda?
I believe we are. With a brief epilogue or coda, I think would say for us to say, do what makes you happy, be responsible, but don't be afraid to try a weird or new or unfamiliar soda. And we can't wait to hear about the weirdest ones you found. There is one soda that I do think, and I hope you guys agree with me, no one should drink. Bird's Nest Soda. I don't think you should drink it because bird's nest, like the fungus from it, It's problematic the way they get it. So that's the only soda I think you shouldn't drink.
It's not the one made of virgin boy's urine, is it?
No, not the egg.
That's an egg.
Oh gosh.
There was also what's that really gross one from Italy that they let you sample at the World of Coke?
Oh God, Beverly. Oh Beverly. Yeah, no wait, yeah. There are two sodas that no one should try.
Cool.
Beverly last thing sucks.
I gotta jump in with this. Sunset Sarsaparilla. That's
Sunset Sarsaparilla.
Fallout New Vegas. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that one person who's very mad at us for not remembering that.
Fair enough.
We remember it now.
Yeah.
Once I Googled it.
And also, chill out. Mellow out. Don't be mad at a podcast.
Mellow Yellow. Quite right. I love that song.
Thanks
so much to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams. This has been a heck of a soda week. And I gotta say, also, Noel, thank you. Thank you for letting me do this as a therapy session. I thought I would end up missing soda more, but I feel like now we kind of understand more of the context and I'll be okay just sticking to coffee and water.
Got to exercise those soda demons. Thank you as well, Ben. This is a nostalgia blast to the cranium for me as well. Huge thanks to super producer Max Williams, Alex Williams, who composed this theme.
Big, big thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. the Quister, as he's known on the mean streets of the Ridiculous Universe. Big, big thanks, of course, to, let's see, who else? Christopher Hasiotis.
Oh, A.J. Jacobs, the puzzler, I think he's accepted our invitation into the Ridiculous Universe. So maybe we'll have to have the puzzler and the Quister have some sort of, you know, puzzle off.
Yeah,
have
like
fun.
It'll be like when Hannibal Lecter meets another serial killer.
Just so. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And,
hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.